Hello, welcome to the Self-Defined Human Podcast. This is your host, Michael Corman. I have a cough today. I've had a cough for a couple weeks, and so I might be coughing. I'm gonna try to edit out the coughs, so that won't be a problem, hopefully. Okay, there's one you get for free. But I wanna talk about nonviolent communication today. I wanna talk about the role of empathy, because empathy is a fascinating topic to me, and it's something that I've been struggling with, trying to understand what exactly that is. And I wanna talk a little bit about some of what I've uncovered with that. In nonviolent communication, there's the, you know, you've got requests, you've got empathy. There's sort of two sides to it. And in the four-step process of nonviolent communication, you make an observation, you name a feeling, you name a need, and you name a request. That's how you make a request. This is how you make life wonderful. What I really do not want to do here is I don't want to give you a lecture on NVC, because you can go watch Marshall Rosenberg's videos on YouTube. There's several hours. There's one video where he has a red shirt and he has his hand puppets. You can see it in the thumbnail. I think the puppets are in the thumbnail, I'm not sure, but the red shirt definitely is. Marshall Rosenberg is a 3-hour workshop. You can watch the whole thing. That's a good introduction to NVC, nonviolent communication. There's also a longer workshop. It's like 8 hours. There's a podcast that has a whole bunch of his stuff. There's another podcast I like called The Art of NVC. There's a book. There's a book by Marshall Rosenberg, Nonviolent Communication. There's a subtitle. I don't know. Nonviolent Communication is the name of the book. There's a book by Oren J. Sofer, which is called Say What You Mean. Those are two books that I like. Nonviolent communication, I don't want to give you a lecture on it, because you can go learn about that stuff yourself. You can go learn what nonviolent communication is. I want to emphasize a few points here. Things that have resonated with me. Empathy. You know, the word empathy is something that, in our popular culture, the word is used a lot. And sometimes it means to be nice. Sometimes it means that when someone else is complaining about something, that you believe them, or that you back off if they're telling you to back off. That's considered to be empathy. That's not empathy. Empathy is where you make space for something. Okay, so it's a deeply energetic phenomenon that is not about. There's no real way to put it into English, because our language, which is fundamentally dualistic, does not allow for discussion of these concepts, because the concepts are, they like, you know, you're sitting there, like I'm sitting here right now, just sitting here, and these concepts, these words, or these ideas, or these images come to my mind, and what are they? What am I doing with them? Like, am I bringing them forth? No, I'm not. See, they just show up on their own. Now, if I'm going to be Michael Corman, and I'm going to actually be like this entity, I'm going to be this agent that has this agency, then what happens? Then I have to make some, you know, then I can, I have the choice as to whether I'm going to put myself in the way or not. But what if I don't put myself in the way? What if I just let the universe unfold as it wants to unfold, as just the laws of physics dictate? Now, I don't really have a choice, of course. It just happens. What choice do I have? No choice at all. No choice at all. So there's a layer of my language here that is, I want you to just listen to it. There's something called E prime, which is a version of the English language where you remove the verb to be and all of its forms. So you don't say be, you don't say is, you don't say am, are, were, was, will be, aren't, isn't. You don't say any of those words. I want you to notice if I'm saying those words. Now, if I say, I am saying those words, I'll let that one slide because that's kind of a bit different. That's just sort of a helping verb or whatever they call it, where it's like, I could say, I say those words. It's the same thing as I am saying those words. But notice when I use the verb to be in a different sense. Notice what I say. The idea is to allow things to be. You know, what if you were allowed to do, to be as you are? Like, that's a rare experience. How often does that happen, where you're talking to somebody and they allow you to exist as you are, without trying to correct you, without trying to change you, but just simply acknowledging your existence in whatever form that takes? So if you're frustrated, they allow you to be frustrated. If you're anxious, they allow you to be anxious. Now, we've got words like frustrated. It has that ED at the end of it. Feelings, when we talk about feelings, sometimes there's these implied objects that we have. If I say, I'm frustrated, somebody say, are you frustrated with me? But what does that mean to be frustrated with you? Why can't I just be frustrated? Why does there have to be an object? Why can't it just be frustration, just existing? I mean, even if I say, I am frustrated, like, why do I say I'm the one who's frustrated? Maybe there just is frustration. So what's the point of this? Is this just philosophy? Well, if you want it to be philosophy, then it's philosophy. If that's who you are, if you're a philosopher, if you're here to listen to philosophy, fine. I'm not going to argue it. Nonviolent communication. The term nonviolent communication, I don't think it's a good term. I think he made a mistake with that one. The reason I say that is because there's so, you know, I've just today, in fact, I was on, was Y Combinator, and it was, is that what it's called? That's what it is, right? It's a news site. That's what it's called, right? It is, there was somebody talking about nonviolent communication, and then somebody else was saying, you know, that word, violent, okay? It's got the word violent right in there. That triggers some people. There's something, they don't hear anything else in the conversation. Once nonviolent communication comes up, once that's the word, then they don't hear it. I don't know why. You know, the term nonviolent communication, it comes from Gandhi, because that's what Marshall Rosenberg named it after. Gandhi had nonviolent resistance. Now, some people really don't like it. They're like, well, you're redefining the term violence. Okay. It's just a term. It's just marketing. I don't think it's very good marketing. That's my personal opinion. But I've been surprised sometimes when I've been posting about MVC, some people just, they just see that word violent in there, and they just, their response is just like, it's fixated on that. And I'm like, I don't know, I didn't name it. Like, what do you want me to do about it? That's the term, that's the word. Like, I don't know, I don't care what it's called. I wasn't attracted to it for the name, like, it doesn't matter to me what it's called. Nonviolent communication. So this is a deeply transformative spiritual practice. It's not something you learn in a weekend. It's not something you just watch a three-hour workshop and suddenly you're a master at MVC. I discovered MVC about 3 years ago. And I'm still working on it. I'm still a beginner. Like, I'm still a novice. I'm still just messing it up all the time. I really suck at it. It takes complete commitment because you have to rewire the entire way that you talk about things. I'm trying to think of what I want to title this podcast. I think the last one I did, I think I might have just called Nonviolent Communication. But I got to ask myself, who is attracted to that? Who wants to know about nonviolent communication? My My language patterns are out of my control. I mean, I didn't come up with them. They just showed up, you know? From the time I was a little kid, they were just like planted in me. And now if I want to talk, what do I say? I don't have control over it. So I talk to a lot of you people, and you people have messed up relationships, and you people put expectations on each other and on yourselves. You people don't understand the difference between feelings and non-feelings. You don't understand what needs are. You don't know how to negotiate needs. You don't know how to make requests. You don't know how to listen to requests. You don't know how to deny requests. You don't know how to accept a denial of a request. You don't understand the difference between requests and demands. You blame, accuse, and judge each other all the time. Okay, that's the broken human condition. That's what we were taught. That's what our society has taught us to do. That's the culture that we live in. Blame and shame and guilt, obligation. A request is considered a demand. If I say, would you be willing to, would you be willing to read over my sales page and give me feedback? Somebody might hear that as a demand. They might hear that, oh, why does Michael always ask me to do stuff? Why can't he find somebody else? If I say, would you be willing to have sex with me? What? What's wrong with you? That's sexual harassment. No, see, making a request can be done. You just make a request. You know, what is a request? What's the difference between a preference, a need, a want, a request, a demand, an expectation? Some of these things, in NVC, there's four things. The need, I'll go in the conventional order. The observation, the feeling, the need, and the request. When people say things to you, you want to listen as if they are speaking in nonviolent communication. Most people are not going to speak that way. They're going to mix everything up. They're going to say, I'm feeling attacked. I feel insulted. They're going to say, your problem is that you just can't mind your own business. Now, when you hear people say stuff like this, you have to empathize. And what that means is you have to listen. You have to listen to what they're saying, and you have to, on a deep energetic level, you have to understand what they're saying. And what people do, no matter what they say, no matter what their words seem to mean, what people are always saying is something very simple. They're always saying either please or thank you. They're always making a request. They're always expressing their feelings. They're always expressing their needs, their observations. It doesn't matter what it sounds like. It doesn't matter if it sounds like blame. It doesn't matter. You can say, are you feeling frustrated? Because you need respect. If you talk like that, you're going to sound like a robot. That's a phase people go through as they learn NVC, the robotic phase. They're just parroting phrases that they learned from a book. But that's life. You have to do that. How else are you going to learn to speak? You have to use the words you know. Try them out. See what happens. Sometimes they work. Sometimes they don't. Sometimes people get upset. Sometimes people know that you're doing a technique on them. They get suspicious. They think you're trying to manipulate them. That's just, you got to go through that. That's the learning process. A lot of people confuse empathy with the empathetic reflection. They're separate things. You know, sometimes people want a reflection. They want to hear that you understand them. They want to hear, sometimes it's like they don't, the words that, the feelings that they have are not articulated. You know, they know they're feeling something, there's something going on, but maybe they're a little overwhelmed. They don't quite get it. They don't know what to call it. They don't quite see the connections. You know, they haven't studied MBC, so they can't really put it, like they can't really say, well, I know that this feeling is because of my need. See, that's the thing with needs. The reason that you state needs in MBC is because you want to take responsibility for your feelings. You want to say, this is why I'm feeling what I'm feeling. I'm not feeling frustrated because of what you did. I'm feeling frustrated because of what I need. That's why I have this feeling. It's a lot easier for people to hear it when you say it that way. So that's how you would talk. You know, you make that clear distinction between your feeling, your need, between the observation. You know, when you said that thing to me, I felt frustrated because I need respect. Now, some people are going to hear that as an accusation. Okay. Let them hear it that way. It's okay for them to hear it that way. It's not a problem. Because if they hear it that way, then this gives you an opportunity to empathize with what they're hearing, with what they're feeling right now. Maybe they're going to say, well, now I feel accused. So you can say, you know, do you feel frustrated? Do you feel hurt? Because you're needing whatever. Come up with something. It doesn't matter. It's not about being right or wrong, and you're not taking a guess. A reflection is not a guess. I mean, you can call it that. I think Marshall calls it that. But it's not a guess, because a guess implies that you're trying to figure something out. You're trying to solve a problem. It's like, well, let me guess what you're feeling. Guess until I'm right. No, that's not the idea. You're not trying to guess. What you're doing is reflecting. So you first have to read what's going on. You have to get a sense of it. You have to get that psychic communication. You got to pick up on it, and then once you get it, you reflect it back. You put it into words and reflect it, and that gives them a chance to hear it, and it also gives them a chance to correct you. It gives them a chance to accuse you of misunderstanding, accuse you of being presumptuous, accuse you of being nosy, accuse you of being manipulative, hypocritical. And those things are all fine. Like, none of those are a problem. There's not a single problem. And this is why you should do reflections, is because of that. It gives the person an opportunity to fight back. And that gives you a chance to empathize more. Because this is how you build a connection with another person. This is where intimacy comes from, is that it comes from this fighting that happens. You know, it's this conflict, it's this tension. You know, it's these little tensions that get resolved. You make tension, resolve tension. Make tension, resolve tension. That's how you learn to dance with somebody else. You know, this is something in music, like, you know, musicians should not get along with each other. I'm not a big fan of this. You know, you say, like, in classical music, you've got pianists. Like, I'm a pianist. I play the piano for classical singers, you know. And it's like, some, you know, they call it accompanying. And it's a subservient role that you play. I'm not a fan of it. Because when you have two performers on stage, they shouldn't be getting along with each other. It's just not right. It's like, that's not as boring. There should be tension. There should be conflict. See, that's how you create something. Like, otherwise, why do you need two people there? You don't need two people. You just have one person. Even if you just have one person, like, you've got like a one-man play. Like, there has to be tension. You can't, it's not anything if there's no tension. Like, you watch a gymnast or somebody. Somebody's like, you know, they're just an athlete. They're just performing on their own. Like, they're not just like a puddle of jello on the floor. Like, there's tension. How else do they stay upright? How else do they, you know, balance on the balance beam or swing from the trees or whatever they're doing? There has to be tension. It's the only way. There's like push and pull. Like that's how things move. It's like, it's Newton's laws. Like there must be, for every action, there has to be an equal and opposite reaction. I mean, there's no movement otherwise. Like there's no movement. There's nothing for you to grab onto. Like it's just, like what? The universe just will collapse. It just becomes just nothingness, nothingness. It's just, if there's nothing, there have to be forces that push things apart from each other and pull them together. That's what creates dynamism. And this is how human relationships have to be. Otherwise it's boring. There's no sense. Like why bother? So you should be fighting with each other. The biggest problem is when people avoid fighting. That's where all the problems come from. Conflict avoidance. But see, there are some people that seek out too much conflict. That creates its own set of problems. Fine. Fair enough. In Oren J. Sofer's book, Say What You Mean, he talks about this. You know, the question of like, well, you know, how do you know? Should I be pursuing conflict? Should I be avoiding conflict? Like, you can't always be pursuing conflict. You can't always be avoiding conflict. And so the advice he gives in the book is that you should find the thing that you're having trouble with, the thing that you tend to avoid, because we all tend to go with one strategy or the other. We all tend to, you know, each one of us tends to be either conflict avoidant or what's the opposite of avoidant? You know, you either seek out conflict or you avoid conflict. You tend to be one or the other. We tend to have trouble with the other one. We tend to be very reluctant to use the other strategy. Personally, I tend to avoid conflict. Some people get very surprised when I say stuff like that because they look at my online persona and they think that I'm just starting fights all day long. I don't know what to say. I think that the reason that that happens is probably because I'm so conflict avoidant that when I created my online persona, I viewed it as an opportunity to practice being a little bit more assertive. I don't think I create very much conflict online though. Done it a couple times, probably counted on two hands how many times I've really created conflict. I should be doing more of it. Somebody said if you haven't angered somebody by noon, then you haven't done enough marketing for that day. I think there's a lot of truth to that. Gotta make sure by noon, someone's gotta get angry. Otherwise, what are you saying? What are you saying? You're not saying anything, you're not doing anything. You know, if people are not getting angry, it means that you're not saying anything surprising. You know, you're just saying stuff that is, it's just the same stuff everyone else is saying. You know, people should get angry, people should get angry because, like, they get angry when they hear something that threatens their worldview. So, I'm guessing that most of you listening to this are probably conflict avoidant as well. I think most intelligent people tend to be conflict avoidant, for the most part. So, if you're attracted to this kind of stuff I talk about, you're probably reasonably intelligent. And you probably are on the conflict avoidant end of the spectrum there. So it probably is a good idea to try seeking out some conflict. You know, the advice that you will hear about avoiding conflict, you know, I might suggest maybe you should avoid that advice. Is it really helping you? You really think that's your problem, is that you're creating too much conflict? Like, are you able to deal with the conflicts that you have? Can you, because you gotta wonder, if you're sitting there saying, I've got to avoid conflict, I've got to stop fighting so much, but at the same time you're afraid of conflict, I gotta say, I think you're probably lying to yourself about something there. Because it's not possible that you're doing too much of something, but you're also afraid of that thing. Like, how can that be? If you were afraid of it, you wouldn't be doing it, you know? So, You know, I don't know, just take a look at it yourself. Take a look at it. But I want you to experiment with having some more conflicts in your life. You know, when there's something that you want, you should make a request. Like, make the request for it. Like, just figure out a way to ask for it. You know, NVC can help you because it can help you to express things in a way that are easier to be heard. It's not necessarily guaranteed someone's going to hear you, that they're going to hear it without blame, without a demand. But if you don't ask for something, you're not going to get it, that's for sure. So let's just make sure we're clear on that thing right there. Okay. Thanks for listening to this. I hope this maybe inspired you to learn a little bit more about NVC. If not, then maybe my next podcast will.